Well, let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles over to the book of Acts, chapter 26. The book of Acts, chapter 26. 2 weeks ago, we learned about those who would be left behind at the rapture. And as I already previously mentioned this morning, literally in a couple weeks, we've had several hundred people already view that. And of course, they didn't even know that video was coming. But there are people who are wanting to know about salvation. There are people who are wanting to know about how to go to heaven. Now, you know, you might be here. You might have been a believer for many, many years. And you know, it's like, yeah, I'm saved. You know what? I've been saved for years and all that. And it doesn't get you excited. All right. You've lost the joy of your salvation. You've lost the enthusiasm, the excitement of what it means to being saved. Let me say that when we did that 2 weeks ago, we also saw that in that study that the deciding factor of whether a person would be left behind at the rapture or not is, has that person believed the message of the gospel or not? In other words, whether they have trusted Jesus Christ alone as their Savior or not. That is the deciding factor right there. It doesn't matter what church you go to. It doesn't matter what denomination you're part of. It doesn't matter how you're living, whether you're living in victory or defeat or any of that, good works or not. The issue is, have you trusted Jesus Christ alone as your Savior? Now, for those of us who have, those of us who are believers, we all live our lives for some reason. Every one of us has a reason. We live our lives. And if I could say it, if I could put it this way, there's something that drives us. And the thing that drives you, the thing that drives me, in other words, it's kind of like why you get up in the morning. It's what gets you excited. It's what occupies your thinking. It's what maybe you invest in financially, okay? That thing that gets you excited, we could call that your passion, your passion. We all live our lives for something. Paul had been a Pharisee who was extremely antagonistic towards Christians and, in fact, towards Jesus Christ. And he took great delight in grabbing Christians, bringing them to the Jewish authorities, and having those Christians either thrown in jail, stoned to death, or whatever. That was the life of Saul, the Pharisee. But when he trusted Christ as Savior, he had now a different purpose, all right? God saved him, and what God did was he turned him into an evangelist. He turned him into a church planter. The Lord turned him into a mentor to other people in ministry. Complete turnaround in his life. Now, that doesn't happen in every Christian's life, but God wants to do something. And folks, whatever passion we have before we're saved, once we do get saved, our passion should change. The Lord made it very clear of what he wanted Paul to do with the rest of his life. And can I tell you this? The fact that it is recorded in Scripture, not only in one place, but in several places, is not an accident. It's not a, oh, that's kind of nice, that's brought up again. No, God did it for a reason. This is God's inspired word, okay? So hopefully we get that. The Lord made it very clear that he wanted Paul to share the gospel with the rest of his life. Now, seeing we're talking about spending forever with God in heaven instead of suffering forever apart from God in hell, what could be more important than that? Can you think of anything more important than that? Where you're going to spend eternity? I can't. Well, you know, I'm really struggling right now. I don't like the job that I have, or I can't get a job or whatever. Let me ask you this. Have you trusted Christ as Savior? Well, yeah, I'm saved. Friend, let me tell you something. You ought to be jumping up and down and clicking your heels. Because once we die or get raptured, we are going to see as God sees. And his passion will become our passion. Imagine left behind at the rapture, having to suffer the tribulation period and then be lost, suffering in an eternal hell forever and ever. That's the plight of the lost. That's the plight of the people who don't know Christ as their Savior. Now, you know what? We all can't do everything, but all of us can do something. And this should be our driver in a practical sense. Now, I know there are Christians who are going to hear this or maybe watch this video and they'll say this. Well, you know what? He's missing it, because really the bottom line is that God would be glorified. Can I tell you this, friend? I know that. I know that. But it's interesting what Jesus said. He says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." See, to just, let's say, sit and just maybe read occasionally or read a Christian book or whatever and talk about how sweet God is and how what a nice walk you have with him and all these kind of things. I am for all of that. But there are people who've never heard the message ever. When the rapture takes place, they're going to be left and wonder what happened. And they're going to have to go through the tribulation. And if they don't die because of the incredible wars and judgments God sends on the earth, then at the end of the tribulation, when Jesus comes back, if they're still lost, they're going to be taken and they're going to be cast into the present day hell. And they'll be there forever from that point on. So what could be greater than us sharing the good news? What could be greater than us letting people know? See, God's passion or desire needs to become our passion. And the issue of the gospel is paramount. Look here in Acts chapter 26 and look at verse 18. Paul is referring back to when he got saved and some of the things Jesus told him. Now, when you read the early chapters of Acts, you don't see this there. But Paul here in Acts 28 is recounting this, okay, as he stands before Agrippa. And here is the words of the Lord Jesus talking about the purpose he had for the Apostle Paul's life. In verse 18, it says, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified." You notice how? "By faith that is in me." That's how a person get saved. So the issue of the gospel is paramount. Now, with that in mind, I want you to go with me over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to spend most of our time here today. Again, God's passion needs to become our passion. The issue of the gospel is paramount. What we find in Philippians chapter 1, the word gospel is used 6 times in this chapter. Now, remember that it isn't just the fact, it's good the word gospel's in that chapter. Remember that the book of Philippians is written to a local church, okay? And so he's writing to a church about issues that definitely have an effect on them. Look at this, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. It says this, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Let's look at that. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Now, there's a lot in that verse. And I think this is one of the key verses in all the book of Philippians, because he's talking about purpose. He's talking about passion. He's talking about mission. You know, a lot of corporations today, they'll say, you know what? We need to develop a mission statement. You want a mission statement for the church? Verse 27 would be a good one. Be a real good one. So what constitutes this? And what makes this effective? I want to cover 4 important issues that come to the forefront. All of them are centered on the gospel of Christ. All of them are found in verse 27. All right? Let's look at it first. First, there's the message of the gospel of Christ. The message of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, it says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That is the heart of the gospel. That is what Jesus did for us, to make a payment for our sins so that we don't have to make a payment for our sins. Jesus went to the cross. He died for us. He suffered. He was buried. And 3 days later came back from the grave. Now, what do you do with that message, okay? You simply believe it for yourself, all right? You put your faith in Jesus Christ that when he died for you. You're trusting in him and only him as your Savior. Hold your place in Philippians. Look with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And I want you to notice this. Several things here in Romans 1. It says in verse 16, see, the message of the gospel, this is the bottom line. Can I tell you this? No one is ever into the family of God. No one comes into the family of God except through the gospel. You might say, well, I was born a Catholic. I was born a Baptist. I was born this. I was born that. And you know what? Born that way, gonna die that way. And almost like you're saying there's something noble about that. There's nothing noble about that. I don't care what denomination you are. There's nothing noble about that. You think that's going to get you to heaven? Dear friend, listen. The only way you get to heaven is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Our good works have no part in saving us. Our faithfulness, our loyalty to any person or denomination has no part in saving us. It's faith alone in Christ alone that he died for us and rose from the grave as the full payment for our sins. Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of what? The gospel, the good news of Christ. For it, singular, it. In other words, this is the only thing. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that does what? Believes. Now, it doesn't say believes and behaves. It doesn't say believes and gives up. It doesn't say believes and promises to be faithful. It doesn't say believes and turns from all their sin, because nobody can. It doesn't say believes and mean business with God. Oh, I can't stand that statement. What does that mean? Boy, that's just religious. Doesn't that just drip with religiosity? No. To everyone that believes. Believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. What does that mean? The gospel went to the Jew first, and then it was opened up to the Greek, which would be the Gentiles. That's most of us here today. Now look at verse 17. It says, for therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by what? Faith. You want to know an easy way to find out whether the gospel is being preached or not? You know, you hear different messages. I know that some people listen to Christian radio and they'll say, well, I heard Dr. So-and-so and this person said this and this person, boy, they really give a good message. And I say this, what's their gospel? What's their gospel? Okay, and I could name off names right now. What's their gospel? And you know what it's really sad to say? Some people who are known all over the world are hit and miss at best on their gospel. Sometimes they'll get it and sometimes they won't. My word to them, those preachers, is this. Dear friend, what's your passion, really? Because if it was your passion, if the gospel's your passion, you're going to make sure it's clear every time. Okay? You want to know how you tell a false gospel from a true one? Here it is. Whose righteousness is being revealed? Whose righteousness is being talked about? What do you mean by that? Here's what I mean by that. If somebody says, you know what, Jesus is necessary, but you must also be faithful, then you know what you're doing? Your righteousness is being revealed as well. That's a false gospel. It's only the righteousness of God that is the true gospel. Or people will just flat out say, you know what, you have to live a godly life. You have to be faithful. You have to try your best. Now, we believe in good works in our church, folks. Don't get me wrong. But that's not going to get you to heaven for one second. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, what does it tell us? For by grace are you saved. Grace is unmerited favor. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. So it's not Jesus and you, or Jesus and me, it's Jesus alone. What he did on the cross, it's faith in him and him alone. It's not of ourselves, it's nothing we can produce. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Look what it says. It is the gift of God. That refers back to being saved, by the way. Not faith. People say, well, faith's the gift. You know, the Calvinists love that one. Faith's the gift. No, that's not what the verse is talking about. And if faith is the gift, Romans tells us that God gives that to every man, by the way. So it's not a pick and choose. But that, the construction here, the Greek construction, goes back to being saved. That is the gift of God. You might say, prove it. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Settled. Okay. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, verse 9, not of works. It's not of our good works. It's not of our deeds. It's not of our faithfulness. Lest any man should boast. This is the message of the gospel. Christ died for us, paid for all of our sins, rose from the grave. And if we will trust in him that he did that for us, the payment he made is put to our account. It's called imputation. God gives us his righteousness as a free gift. He says he'll never lose us. He'll never cast us out. Well, what if you're not faithful? He'll never lose us. He'll never cast us out because he gave you everlasting life. If you lost your everlasting life, it wouldn't have been everlasting to begin with. See, people just can't accept this issue that salvation is a love gift from God. That's why he sent Jesus to die for us so that we could spend forever with him. He sent Jesus because we couldn't achieve it. And that's why he sent Christ. And Jesus isn't part of the solution. He is the solution. Jesus said it, didn't he? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He didn't say, would you like to help me get you to heaven? That would be a denial of everything he did on the cross. By the way, he'd still be in the grave if he didn't pay it all. How do I know that? Because God would not be satisfied with his payment if he didn't pay it all. And therefore, we would not have raised him from the dead. Romans tells us he was raised for our justification. Very important. So the message of the gospel, we see that in Philippians 1:27. Paul said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. The end of the verse, we're to be striving together for the faith of the gospel. All right. But secondly, I want you to see this in verse 27, Philippians 1:27. There's to be a lifestyle that harmonizes with the gospel. See, nowhere does the Bible teach trust Christ as Savior and then go out to live a life of rebellion, live like you're an orphan and not a child of God. No. God says, I've given you membership into my family. You've been born into my family. I'm your father. What I want you to do as my child, not to become my child or stay my child, but what I want you to do is I want you to be obedient. You might say, well, I fail at that at times. Yes, we all do. That's why salvation is not of works. We are to live a lifestyle that harmonizes with the gospel. You notice it says only let your conversation be. The word conversation here has the idea of the way we live, our manner of life, or our lifestyle. Be as it becometh the gospel. The word become means is worthy of the gospel. In other words, the way we live should be a positive reflection on the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that he is our Savior. Listen, if Jesus is this amazing Savior that we have, once we're saved, according to Scripture, shouldn't that make some difference in our lives? Now, how much difference? Well, that depends on if we cooperate with God or not. Okay? But yes, it should make a difference. The late Jack Weaver, dear friend of mine, he used to say this. He says, there should be a visible difference of the invisible difference. Key word there is should, but absolutely there should be. A visible difference of the invisible difference. What is it? I'm saved by grace. The Holy Spirit lives in me. I have a new nature. There ought to be, a visible difference of the invisible difference. So there ought to be a lifestyle that harmonizes with the gospel. Only let your manner of life be as it is worthy of, as it becometh the gospel of Christ. A lifestyle worthy of or is proper according to the gospel. In other words, our walk and our talk should be in harmony. I can go around and tell people, Jesus saves. He's a wonderful Savior. I have eternal life. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But you know what, friends? If I live just like the rest of the lost world lives, people are going to doubt the reality of what I have. They're going to doubt the reality of it. We are to live a life worthy of the gospel. Now, not every Christian does. I know there are people, well, then they're not saved. No, they're saved. If they've trusted Christ, they're saved no matter what. But what they're out of the will of God for their life. See, they're not sharing the passion that God has. They're not sharing the same ideals, the same purpose, the same plan that God has. As a child, they're living in rebellion to God's plan. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul says, "For our conversation is in heaven." Okay, now the word there means our citizenship is in heaven. And that's an interesting word because we get our word politics from it. You might say, oh, no, there's not going to be politics in heaven, is there? No, no. And if there was, it'd be 100% excellent. No liars, because there's no sin in heaven. Isn't that great? We're going to a place where there's no sin. You might say, well, I guess I can't come because I'm a sinner. No, friend. There's good news for you. Jesus paid your debt that you owe as a sinner. And he made the payment and he's offering you everlasting life if you'll simply trust in Christ. Look with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Again, hold your place in Philippians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 4 in verse 1, Paul says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us," look at this, "how you ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." Do you see that? He's again writing to a local church of believers, Church of Thessalonica. And he says, "Furthermore, we beseech you, we beg you, brethren, we plead with you and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God." In other words, Paul taught them how they ought to live their lives and how they ought to please God. He taught these believers that. And he says, so you would abound, not just do it a little, but abound more and more. In other words, this should be, and then in the next couple of verses, "for this is the will of God, our sanctification." And they're having to do with our growth as believers. God wants his children to grow. But what he wants us to do is not just grow to where we feel good or have a bunch of knowledge. He wants us to share his passion. And what is his passion? It goes back to the gospel, which leads us to number three. We see in Philippians 1:27, the conviction of the gospel of Christ. What am I talking about in that? You notice Paul says that you stand fast in one spirit. Can I tell you, folks, we're not going to stand fast. We're not going to stand strong unless the gospel is a conviction to us. Unless we are so locked in to it that we say, you know what? You can budge me. You can move me a little bit on some things, but this is non-negotiable. I'm not giving one inch on this. It's all of grace, and anything else is a false message. That's the conviction of the gospel. Stand fast in one spirit. He says, "whether I come and see you or else be absent." You know what that would be? If he's not there and they're still doing it, what does that say? That means it's a conviction to them. Paul doesn't have to ride them. Paul doesn't have to always show up and say, "surprise visit, I'm here. Are you standing fast?" No. He says, the way it should be, whether I'm there or whether I'm not there, I want to hear of your affairs, that you're standing fast with one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Hey, can I tell you, it's not going to happen unless it matters to us. Can I tell you this? It's not going to matter unless the gospel's your passion like it is God's passion. Friend, listen, every time you hear a message, and if that preacher messes up the gospel, it ought to bother you. It ought to bother you. Am I saying that they don't say some things that are good? No. There are preachers who say some good things. There's no question about it. But if they're not clear on the gospel, don't you dare dismiss it as not important. It's the most important thing, because it is the only thing that's the power of God into salvation. You know what? Somebody can be an excellent Bible teacher, but if they're not clear on the gospel, lost people hear all that excellent Bible teaching, but if they never hear how to be truly be saved by faith alone in Christ alone, then what are they doing? All they're doing is becoming religious. The gospel, that's God's passion. Can I tell you, that's why Jesus came, to seek and to save that which was lost. So there needs to be a conviction. He wanted to know that whether he was there or whether he wasn't there, they were going to stand steadfast and not compromise the truth of the gospel. okay, that they would have zero toleration for a false message because they really believe, that's a conviction, by the way, they really believe that there was no saving power in anything but the gospel. That's a conviction. And so, and listen, don't misunderstand me. I know there are people in ministry who haven't seen this issue yet. And you know what? We need to have a posture of, can we explain to you the Word of God a little bit more perfectly, like Aquila and Priscilla did in the book of Acts? Listen, there are people who don't see the issue yet. And what do we need to do? We need to be patient. We need to be kind for these people. But let me say, folks, that doesn't mean we compromise the message. Anytime you hear somebody say this, they're messing up the gospel. You need to give your life to Christ. You need to give your heart to Jesus. You need to give yourself to the Lord, and you'll become a child of God. Listen, that's a false message. Why? Because nowhere in the gospel does it say we give anything. The gospel is us receiving everlasting life, receiving a gift. If I have to give, then who's the giver? I'm the giver. That's not salvation. Salvation is receiving what Christ has done. The gift of God is eternal life. What do you do with a gift? You don't give to get a gift. You simply receive a gift. The giver's wanting to give you something. God is wanting to give the entire world everlasting life. But the only way they can get it is by trusting in Christ. And the only way they know to trust in Christ is by a Christian sharing the gospel. And the only way we're going to share the gospel faithfully is if God's passion is our passion. It's the only way. It needs to be a conviction. Or mixing grace and works. Well, yeah, faith in Christ is part of it, but you also must do this. You also must do that. Okay? And they'll tell you can't tell me that you just trust Christ as Savior and you're going to heaven no matter what. Well, then what you're saying is there's other things that have to be done, right? Well, yes. Yeah, there's other things. I mean, you have to live like you're saved if you're going to go to heaven. Wait a minute. You just added to faith. That's a false gospel. Friend, it sounds very religious and very right, quote unquote, on a human level, but that, according to God, is an accursed message. Where does it say that? Hold your place and look with me to Galatians chapter 1. You might say, well, you're being awful pointed on this, Pastor. Yes, I am. Folks, this is something that we need to be willing to die for. Okay? We were with, my wife and I were having dinner with somebody the other night, and they were talking about a certain food someplace, at a restaurant, I think it was. And they say, oh, have you ever had that? And I said, no, I haven't had that. Man, that's to die for. And I'm thinking, no way. I'm not dying for food. Now, there are times when I'm very hungry, but I'm not going to die. I don't care if it's the richest, deepest chocolate in all the world. Okay? Coupled with the best thick crust Sicilian pizza in all the world. Topped off with wonderful ice cream, chocolate peanut butter ice cream, right? On top of chocolate cake? Yeah, bring it on. No, honestly, it's not to die for. How silly, right? How silly. We use that phrase. Can I tell you this, folks? There may be a day coming when we are going to have to die for what? What we believe. That's a conviction, by the way. Your feet are in cement. You're not moving. This is where we are. Galatians 1:6, Paul says this. By the way, he's writing to more churches. He says, I marvel, I'm amazed that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. You see, whatever other gospel it is, it's not all the grace of God. Verse 7, which is not another, because there isn't any other. There's only one. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The word pervert means to twist or distort. Literally, it means to turn something into something of the opposite character. Okay? And it's used in Scripture from darkness to light. That's the idea. Okay, from darkness to light. Opposite. To turn something into something of an opposite character. Here you go. The gospel of the grace of God, the gospel is only by grace through faith in Christ. That is the only message that saves. Listen, if you add one thing to that, you're turning it into a message then that doesn't save. You're perverting. You're turning it into something of an opposite character. How important is this? I know there are people here, message like this. There they go again. I'm sure there are people on the radio. There he goes again. It's all he talks about. There he goes again. Well, friend, you know why? We don't want people to go to hell. We want them to go to heaven, don't you? So then we better make sure that we're making the way to heaven clear and not messing it up or confusing people. Because if they're confused, they don't know what to do. And if they don't put their faith in Christ alone, they're not going. Look what Paul says in verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. You hear it all the time. Can't we just get along? Can't we just get along? I read this yesterday. It's anonymous. No one knows who came up with it, but it's good. Here you go. Peace is not purchased by the sacrifice of truth. Peace is not purchased by the sacrifice of truth. You sacrifice the truth of the gospel, you'll never have peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5, 1. Do we want to get along? Absolutely, we want to get along. But you know, when somebody says, well, you know, you've got your message and your way of explaining it, but I've got another way of explaining it. Let me tell you something, friend. If it's anything having to do with man being faithful, it's not the same message. Now, I don't expect, you know, not everybody's going to use the hand gesture with the wallet that we do here. And that's fine. You don't have to do that. But it's got to be all Jesus Christ and what he did. No work of man whatsoever. Otherwise, it's a false message. Lastly, we see in back to Philippians 1:27, we see the unity of the gospel of Christ that is needed. The unity. Now, where do we see that? You notice the phrase striving together. That's unity. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. We all need to be on the same page, living out the same passion. We all need to have the same priorities. That's what brings unity. We all need to be going in the same direction. That's what brings unity. Well, I can tell you the direction this church is going in. Okay? There's a loyalty to the gospel of Christ. There's a loyalty to the person of Christ. There's a loyalty to the word of Christ and the word of God. And that's the direction we're going. That's a conviction. And we want you to be a part of it. We want actually anybody who hears this, even on radio. You know, we have people who at times they listen. They listen faithfully. They listen every week. And there are people of different denominations and stuff. And sometimes we'll get the sweetest call from the sweetest listener. And they'll say, I had one a few weeks ago. I just want to tell you, I so appreciate your teaching. I understand what you're talking about. You make it to where I can understand it. And I want you to know, I just love listening. We listen every week on our way to church. And the last one, she told me where she goes, and she said, you know, I'm not going to leave the church, but I just want you to know how much I appreciate what you're saying. Dear friend, I'm telling you this. If your church is not preaching the gospel of grace, you should leave it, because that church is not doing the work of God, and people are not going to get saved unless they hear the gospel of grace, because only that is the power of God into salvation. Okay? Now, I'm not by any means saying that we're the only church in this area that has the truth. I don't know. But I can tell you this. This is our passion. It's the passion here at Northland. I can tell you that. And we'd love for you to be a part of that with us. The unity of the gospel, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We all need to be on the same page and the same passion. Look with me to Matthew chapter 9. If you've never been to Israel, you need to go. And the best people to go with are friends from Quentin Road Bible Baptist Church. They're the best. I cannot read a passage like this and not immediately be transported to the hills of Galilee, to the area there up the hills from the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee, there from Capernaum going up. And I can just see the Lord Jesus there on the hills of Israel. Matthew 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved. He was moved. With what? Compassion. What's the last part of that word? Passion. His passion gave him compassion. Why? Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And in a sense, no Savior, because he's the great shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. See, if we're moved by this, we look at the need and how I can fill it. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And boy, that is true today. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And you know, you can't really pray that unless you're willing to be one, because it would be hypocritical. See, folks, there needs to be a unity of the gospel in the local church. There needs to be a unity in the gospel of Christ. When we get our eyes off the mission God has given us, you know what we do? We splinter and we divide the church. When we get our eyes off of God's passion, we start drifting away from God's purpose and mission. And you know what we end up doing? If we start going that direction, if we get our eyes off of that, or if we say, you know what, that's not for me, that's for the gifted evangelist and all this idea, well, I don't see the big deal, or here he goes again, gives him the gospel again, or any of this kind of stuff. When that becomes our mindset, you know what we do? We start turning on each other. We start attacking each other. Do you know why? Because we're not looking where we're supposed to be looking, at Christ and the multitudes. The late Dr. Ironside, and I know, you know, he wasn't perfect in everything he said. I understand that, but you know, I don't think any of us are. But he said this: nothing so mars gospel testimony as contention and self-seeking among God's people. Contentious Christians discredit the message they profess to love. When jealousies and envyings come in to hinder the fellowship of those who should be standing together heart to heart and shoulder to shoulder for the truth of God, the effect on the world outside is most lamentable. Unsaved members of believers' families are particularly affected. Nothing is more harmful to them than to find out that their elders are not unitedly standing together for the word of God, unquote. He nailed it. He nailed it. Any church where the people are infighting is a church where people are not sharing the passion of God. They've gotten their eyes off of the goals. They've gotten their eyes off of the purpose. And they've made that which is insignificant, relatively speaking, to that which is significant. They've lost that which is significant. We all need to be agreed on this, and we all need to see this as priority, both in our lives personally and in our church corporately. Question for you today, question for me today, is God's passion, which we've covered today, it's the gospel, is God's passion my passion? Does it really matter? I say, how do I know if it really matters to me? We get moved by it. We're moved by compassion. That's how it works. John chapter 3. And we're going to go here to John chapter 3. And what I'm asking you to do is not, as we close the service today, not be closing up your Bibles, doing your zippers, putting away your notebooks. Just sit. It'll just take a few more seconds afterwards. We don't want to distract. You know, there may be somebody here today. I was talking to one of our Sunday school teachers yesterday. I was talking to Jason Laumeier. And I just love this, Jason. Thank you so much for this. I don't mean to embarrass you. Hopefully it won't embarrass him. He's teaching his Sunday school class the importance of sitting still when the gospel's given at the end of the service, or really through the service, but especially at the gospel at the end of the service. And he's telling his kids, wouldn't it be awful if because of your distraction, somebody didn't hear the gospel and they didn't trust Christ? Okay? And you know what? That's good Sunday school teaching right there. Make it real, folks. Make it real. And you know what? Sunday school, Sunday service, day school, preschool, kindergarten, doesn't matter what ministry it is, all of us should be on the same page. All of us should be integrating with each other. All of us should be striving together for the faith of the gospel. And you know, there's no verse in the Bible that so illustrates it as John 3:16. Look at that. John 3:16. For God so loved the world God loves the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever, it's open to anyone, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, go to hell, but have everlasting life. That's the message. God so loved us, he sent his Son to die for us. And he did, and he came back from the dead in full payment for our sin. And if we'll put our faith in him and him alone, we won't go to hell, we'll go to heaven. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? You know, that's something to get excited about. I know there are people in our church from Chicago. They're all excited about Chicago Cubs, all right, who lost yesterday. But we won't hold it against them. And you know what? I think it's great. I think it's great. Be a Cub fan. Nothing wrong with that. But can I tell you this? Who should we really be a fan of? Jesus and his gospel, right? Man, that's what we ought to get excited about. Somebody gets saved, we ought to be inside, at least hooting and hollering inside, if not outside, being excited about it. Listen, if you've never put your faith in Christ as your Savior, would you do that today? Well, friends, that concludes this edition of Voice of Assurance. Thanks so much for listening. And would you share this ministry with a friend? To contact us or learn more about our ministry, please visit www.northlandchurch.com. Your prayers and support for this ministry are greatly appreciated. Thank you so much, and God bless you.